live. It's a Football Friday at AsylumFantasyFootball.com, Rick, where we are answering the question, who the hell is Stella Parton, and is she related to Dolly?
That's true. Here it is, week 14. The fantasy playoffs in most leagues have already started with the Denver-Oakland game. But, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of lineup questions out there. Drop us a line at AsylumFootball@gmail.com.
On Twitter, @AsylumFootball.
Yes, indeed. And, of course, you local, WSRU, 88.1 FM, the voice of the rock.
Absolutely. Check us out there. Let us know what you think up there in Slippery Rock. Well, Rick, you said it. You know, we'll move past Stella Parton. Does anyone in the chat room know? Is that Dolly's daughter? You can tell what we were talking about right before we went on the air. We got sidetracked a little bit. But, yeah, it's playoff time. I have one game into the playoffs in most leagues. I know we're in a few leagues that go 14 weeks, but by and large you're looking at 13 weeks, so it starts now. So some of you guys may be out, some of you are in, and it's really crunch time. And, Rick, it's terribly depressing that the fantasy playoffs are here already.
It is. We were whining in week 7 and whining at week 4, and here it is, week 14.
You know who we are, apparently. We just whine a lot.
Yeah, it's the whiners.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
You ever see that skit on Saturday Night Live?
I did.
We wanted macaroni and cheese.
Wow. They did it better.
Yeah, no kidding. But, there's a lot of good games this week, too.
Yeah, a lot of big games, definitely a lot of high fantasy impact as well. So let's jump right into the headlines. We'll talk about that Denver-Oakland game, start, sit, fact, fiction. I know Rick's got a story he wants to go over. I'd like to, Rick, if we have a minute, it doesn't have anything to do with fantasy football, to get your thoughts on the kickoff rules that Goodell is throwing around out there. I'll tell you what, let's start with that, the heck with the headlines. I assume you've heard this. I hope so.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I was watching a piece on it this morning, and, you know, they're basically guaranteeing that it's going to be on the table, basically to be thrown off the table, thrown out of the game.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of it. I get the player safety aspect, although, look, special teams is a big part of the game. I hate to see that taken out. If you're going to do it, I could almost live with, all right, after somebody scores or at the start of the game or at the half, you give them the ball on the 20 or the 25. This business, give it to them on the 25, and it's 4th and 15, and you can either punt or you could go for it if you're trying to catch it. That's just lunacy. You're turning it into the lingerie league at that point. Or even worse, the Canadian league. And, Rick, you know how I feel about Canada.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. I can't. I don't know what to make of it. I, you know, the game evolves. I understand that. I mean, I can still, you know, basketball. You know, when you have a jump ball, of course, the possession era now, instead of having a jump ball all the time.
I've never been a fan of the possession era.
Not me either, as far as that goes. And, you know, I like the kickoff. Now I see where they're coming from with the safety. Maybe to start a game and a half I can live with, but what do you do? I mean, when you score, just give it to the team on the 20 or whatever?
Well, I mean, that would be more logical than this business of you put the ball on the 20 and it's 4th and 15, so you either punt, which to me you're still kicking it off. I guess it's not as dangerous as the kickoff because you don't have that running start. But it's still one man holding the ball and 11 guys flying full speed trying to kill him, that being their ultimate goal. I don't know if that solves anything. I just hate to see the game messed with. But one thing I do want to say is to all these people, you listen to the local sports radio, all these people out there say, well, take the helmets away or put them in leather helmets. The hitting won't be so hard. I don't get that, Rick. I don't buy that argument. I'm so sick and tired of hearing it. These guys are still trying to make their money, and especially in special teams, these young guys, you're going to get somebody killed. So quit suggesting. Everyone thinks they're so smart suggesting that, and it annoys me.
Yeah, well, a lot of things annoy you. But, you know, I mean, goalies in hockey didn't even used to have a mask.
Yeah.
You know? But I think they're all the better to have one.
I would think so. Yeah, maybe they're a little more reckless, but you're probably still better off to have it, I would think.
I agree. Well, we'll wait and see what happens. That's a subject I'm sure to cover in the off season.
Yeah, that's
as
true.
Of right now, the kickoffs are still part of the game.
That's a fair point. So let's jump into some headlines, Rick. probably the most shocking news you're going to hear all day, I know, but Darren McFadden tweaks an ankle last night against Denver, couldn't finish the game, goes out in the fourth quarter in a game. He got in the end zone, but really, again, wasn't lighting the world on fire. However, it looks like already they're saying it looks like he should be okay. It's nothing serious. What are your thoughts on Darren McFadden the rest of the way?
I think you know what it is. I mean, he's just a walking injury. And, in fact, I put out a tweet today, you know, news flash, Darren McFadden hurts his ankle again. Marcel Reese owners, don't give up the ship yet, you know.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And probably, I mean, although you look at it, it's interesting. McFadden, 11 carries last night. Reese, only 4 carries, only 1 grab at the same time. So, if it's a shame. It looks like if McFadden's healthy, Reese has no part in the offense at this point. McFadden's still struggling. I don't know what to make. I don't like McFadden, but I don't think him, unless he's out, it doesn't help Marcel Reese whatsoever. Marcel Reese, you've got to go back to your bench. He's not even playable.
Yeah, and that going back also to the Darren McFadden owners. Now, for example, you've been stashing him on your bench, and now the playoffs are here, and you know it's one and done. Are you going to... Who knows? Who you've been supplementing with, I don't know. But, you've gotten to the playoffs. Are you now going to throw him in and hope he doesn't twist a toe in the first play?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Probably not. And, you know, I was in that situation. I drafted him. I'm not in the playoffs thanks to his poor season as it was and in the injury. You know, it's hard to recover when you throw away your first-round pick as I did there. So Run DMC, a bit of a sore subject for me. Moving on, Big Ben's been named the starter this week against San Diego. So great news for Roethlisberger owners and most specifically Mike Wallace owners, Antonio Brown owners, Heath Miller owners. I think this is big news for the Steelers and for the Steelers from a fantasy perspective.
No doubt about that. If he's, you know, pretty healthy, which I assume he is, he's been making the throws apparently in practice and he's at a full practice. So I think as far as that goes, he's good to go. You can't get much better than what Heath Miller did last week, but I don't think his production is going to go down any, that's for sure.
No, it certainly can't hurt him having Ben Roethlisberger back. I have some stats on him we'll get into in our start-sit segment. This one was a bit of a shame, Rick. Cecil Shorts, right now questionable with a concussion. I read something on CBS coming out of Jacksonville that it's not looking good for him this week. We spent a lot of time talking about him. This kid's come out of nowhere, been fantasy gold, and looks like you might be without him this week in the first round of your playoffs. And the shame of it is this is the kind of guy that will get somebody into the playoffs who is struggling or put a good team over the top, and it looks like you may be without him this week.
And it's kind of fortunate. Things just seem to be going for this team's way. You know, the Jets could actually win again and be 6-7.
Right in a playoff hunt. You see them in the hunt on the CBS.
Because Jacksonville had an injury. Go figure.
Yeah, speaking of Jacksonville injury, Rashard Jennings facing the exact same situation. He's in the second phase of the concussion testing, I believe.
I thought he went on IR.
Well, did that happen since I read this story?
So.
Well, very well could be. So let's scratch that off. Color me embarrassed if that's true, or maybe you just made it up to try to make me look foolish and knowing that nobody's going to take the time to look it up otherwise.
I could have told you Captain Kangaroo is a trainer and you didn't believe me.
I don't think I would have believed that. And Captain Kangaroo's you look like Captain Kangaroo a little bit now that you bring him up. Just a little bit. That song.
You're Mr. Green Jeans.
Who?
Mr. Green Jeans.
Excuse me, I'm not wearing green jeans. I'm not going down this road with you today. It's the playoff time, Rick. Here's an interesting one, Rick, I want your take on. Danny Amendola, game-time decision this week with that calf. If he would play, I know you're a bigger Amendola fan than I am. If he would play, do you go ahead and roll the dice with him this week?
Who am I benching?
I don't know.
Well,
who's on your team?
Denarius, well, it's too late. He's already played.
Yeah.
Sidney Rice.
I'm asking you.
Well, I'm asking you now.
I'm playing Sidney Rice over Danny.
Yeah, me too.
All right.
I mean, being hometown guys here, watching Troy Polamalu struggle with that calf of his,
that's
you
true.
Know, it really makes you wonder. I don't know what the severity of it really is or was. So I
always had to think
there
was more to that, though.
Yeah.
Something wasn't right there.
I think you're
they
right, too.
Telling us.
But I'm always leery on lower body injuries. Of course, look at Pierre Garçon.
Well, that's wrong there.
So, I mean, if you don't have a better option, say you're riding maybe Steve Johnson, who's questionable with a hamstring, I might ride Amendola.
Yeah, a healthy or a plain Amendola. I have a hard time believing he'd be healthy, or Dwayne Bowe.
I think I would go Bowe.
Really? So, yeah, I mean, that's where you see Amendola then probably as a number three if you can get him in there, something like that. And last headline I have, Rick, is another shame. This guy just can't get off the schneid this year. Jordy Nelson looks like he's going to be out this week with that hamstring. So, been a big disappointment. Just came out of nowhere last year, set the fantasy world on fire, and just never, health-wise, when he played well, but health-wise, can't stay in the game this year.
Yeah, you know, I've had him a couple leagues this year, and just a huge disappointment because he just can't stay healthy.
No doubt about it. A guy you took in the late second, early third round probably and just got no production out of him. So let's look, Rick, at that game last night. Some interesting things come out of it. Denver versus Oakland. A lot closer than I thought it would be, although maybe not as close as the final score indicated either, one of those. Just not much of a game at all. I'm not going to go on that Thursday night game rant again, but it just, that one really didn't do anything for me whatsoever.
No, I watched a lot of that game. In fact, I think it was like 23-7 when I quit watching. I can't remember exactly. I know it was 23, maybe 26. I can't remember. But I don't know. Oakland, you watch them a little bit, and it's like they're almost on the cusp of being half decent.
Almost on the cusp of being half decent.
Yeah.
What's the phrase, the old saying, damning them with faint praise?
You know, well, what can you do? They're, what, 3-9
or 10?
I don't know.
They beat the Steelers, though. You remember, recall that?
Well, so Tennessee, and so did
Kansas City.
Cleveland.
Kansas City came real close. Yeah, but looking at that game last night, looking at some of the numbers, Peyton Manning, 310, a touchdown and a pick. First time in several weeks that Peyton Manning doesn't have multiple touchdowns. Matt Prater, probably the MVP coming out of that game.
Right.
Now, here's a guy we spent a ton of time on Tuesday, and this is interesting. Here we go. Knowshon Moreno, 32 carries, 119 yards and a touchdown, and he also caught four balls for 48 yards. This guy's becoming a starter. This guy coming out of nowhere just in time for the playoffs. This is interesting. He's gone 20 over 20 twice and now 30 in terms of carries ever since Willis McGahee's gone out.
Yeah, and I just hope he can hold up to that kind of thing. But, you know, he's looking at like a viable start. I mean, we hit that in the last show that, you know, you're in Peyton Manning's offense, and he's worth a shot, you know, if you're struggling for a running back two, something on that line.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, the big thing is this time we got the production. I know last week we marveled at the 25 carries or 20 even. I can't remember what
it was. 20, yeah.
Even though there was no production, we said, look, a guy going to get the ball that many times. Then they turn around and give it to him 32 times. And, you know, for 32 carries, a buck 19 on average isn't blowing you away. But this is big. It's 50 carries in 2 weeks.
Well, what I really saw on that is they reestablished the play action. They run them. And I saw the one play, Demaryius Thomas going across. Peyton does the fake quick pitch out of the left. I mean, the defense, everything was going left. Demaryius Thomas comes across, pile. They knock it down for about 17, 18 yards.
Yeah,
when you
run the ball 30 times, those types of plays work. Speaking of Decker and Thomas, they combined 13 for a buck 71. Both of them real even in terms of catches and both in the 80s mark in terms of yards. So sort of what you get from those guys, both obviously fantasy starts. On the Oakland side, Carson Palmer, okay after had some good weeks, real bad last week. 273, two touchdowns and a pick. Didn't kill you there anyhow.
No, and he did lose that fumble, you know, which hurt a little bit his point production, but it still wasn't too bad. Darius Heyward-Bey had a real nice night. Denarius Moore is very disconcerting for fantasy owners. He has been silent for 3 straight weeks. I mean, just nothing.
Yeah. No, it was all in one series last night. There was that one series. I think he caught 3 balls in a row, and that's about all you saw out of him. Darren McFadden, as we talked about, 11 for only 52 yards, two grabs for 12 yards. Did manage to find the end zone on one of those receptions, saved it there. I think the interesting thing there, Marcel Reese, 4 for 24 and only one grab for 5 yards. That hurts right there, Reese owners, because Reese, another one of those guys, like I said about Cecil Shorts, who probably helped some teams into the playoffs, and now he's going away just at the wrong time.
Yeah, exactly. There's no doubt about that. And, Marcel Reese, if McFadden comes back, you almost have to put him on the shelf for a game because he's just not going to get to work unless McFadden gets hurt. Now, do you want to gamble that in the playoffs? I say no.
No.
There's somebody in there that's playing.
Yeah, you certainly can't do it. And like I said, it looks like McFadden has already been given the go-ahead that he'll be at least starting next week. It's always a coin flip if he's going to finish the game or not. So that's probably about it for that game. Nothing more to go on. I see you're chomping at the bit, whatever story you have there, Rick. Why don't you go ahead and do that, and then we'll hop into our starts and sits.
No, it was just an interesting little piece. Florio put it out a couple days ago. And, of course, you know last year, especially my feelings on Peyton Hillis.
You made them abundantly clear over and over again, yeah.
No, it just so happens that, they're going to Cleveland this week. Kansas City.
Okay.
And, of course, Peyton Hillis is going there. Well, he was one of the teammates of Peyton Hillis from Cleveland, Joe Thomas, offensive tackle, stand-up guy, great guy. Had little things to say about Mr. Hillis coming back to Cleveland.
So he took some shots at him, I hope.
Not really shocks. He basically said... he's talking to the Associated Press, and he said it was a terrible distraction. Quote: "He crippled our offense.
Wow, crippled.
We were struggling to find anybody who could carry the ball after all the injuries we had. To have Peyton go through a contract dispute and basically refusing to play, it was a big distraction. But more than anything, he was our starting running back that was a good player who was going to help us be a successful offense. When he's not there and you don't have anybody to turn to, it makes it hard to win, and that's a distraction. It's not being successful," unquote.
Wow. So, and that's what you said all along when there was these illnesses. Remember, didn't he get sent home with strep throat or a tummy ache or something by his agent?
Yeah, his agent told him he shouldn't be playing.
And you said this was a contract thing all along, and there's the confirmation you so desperately wanted at this time last year from a teammate saying this was all about his contract. So, tells you all you need to know about him.
Yeah, and he went on referring to Matt Forte's contract issues. Wasn't a distraction. He played his butt off, up and worked.
There's the difference. Yeah, that's a good point.
And he goes, "The frustrating thing to a lot of teammates was you would try to talk to him and you try to tell him that's not the right way to do it and you want to get your big contract, but he would not listen to anybody. He thought he was doing it the right way."
Well, and there you have it. Classic story. It's a shame what you saw out of him 2 years ago. You saw what he could be, what he could do, one of the top backs in fantasy football. Goes through that last year, then he shows up in Kansas City. And look, he's been given opportunities. There were games where, much to your chagrin, as we know, Jamaal Charles has only seen the ball 5 times, given him an opportunity. And the Hillis experiment's been a disaster. How much did we hear about him in the preseason? You get Hillis. He'll be a solid flex play, a good bye week guy. He's been ostensibly useless.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's Jamaal Charles is one of those guys, along with, Chris Johnson, Adrian Peterson, et cetera. Other than a few breather plays, they're the running back. And it's not split time with these guys at all.
No, and Hillis really can't get the ball rolling. Did finally find the end zone last week, but that's probably about the highlight of his season at this point. So good for Joe Thomas smacking Hillis around a little bit. I'm sure that makes you happy because that's probably – you probably hate him more than me, maybe. I hope.
It's close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's good. So there's one person on the planet you hate more than me, so I'll take that. Well, let's move on, Rick. Let's do back to fantasy football, help somebody win a game here. Do our starts and sits, Rick. I'll let you start it with a quarterback this week.
Well, of course, now that we're in the playoffs, I mean, there's probably six teams playing, eight teams on something like that. And, yeah, you're probably set. And this was very difficult. But, you know, there's maybe guys out there that, you know, have a couple on their team. And Matt Ryan's been awful quiet.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I think going against Carolina this week, Carolina had her number the first game of the year. And I like Matt Ryan going against Carolina this week.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. Sounds simple, though, Rick. But I'll tell you, I saw a question on Twitter earlier today, Matt Ryan or Cam Newton. So, you know, Matt Ryan being a 6th, 7th round guy, depending where you drafted, there are some people that are forced to sort of play matchups there. But, yeah, definitely against Carolina. Ryan's number's been down a little bit, but I think if they're going to bounce back, it's going to be against that Carolina team. For me, Rick, I'm going out on a limb. And, you know, again, to your point, if you're in the playoffs at this point, you probably have a stud number one quarterback. I'm not saying to play this guy over anybody. You know, if you have maybe who my sit is, you consider this guy. I just really want to give him some dap, and this is the only place it really fits in. So my start this week is going to be Russell Wilson going up against Arizona. I know that's a good Arizona pass defense, but in the last 5 games, this kid, again, lost in the rookie shuffle of RG3 and Andrew Luck, 11 touchdowns and only 1 pick in his last 5 games. This kid's really got that Seattle offense rolling. And, again, in terms of fantasy, I don't know who I'm going to play him over, who I'd have the guts to play him over, but I think it's just a good matchup, and this kid's rolling right now is about my tact I'm taking with that one.
I think he's a good start, and yeah, Arizona's got a pretty decent defense, but look, they've lost 8 in a row. They've got no offense. That defense is out on the field all the time, and you know, you can only do so much. And as long as that offense keeps
going the way it
is.
Look what they did last week and still managed to lose because of how bad their offense is.
Exactly. You give up a touchdown. I mean, I think you've done your job.
You give up a touchdown and you lose. So, yeah. So, again, I mean, you're not sitting Eli Manning or – all right, how about this, Rick? Here's a good one. Big Ben coming off that injury or Russell Wilson?
I think I'd have to go Wilson, to be honest with you.
I think about it, too. Doesn't this seem like a game that the Steelers are might going to grind it out a little bit? I like Jonathan Dwyer a whole lot this week.
Games like this scare me. I mean, I was more comfortable going, you know, playing the Baltimore game last week, really, than San Diego. They seem to struggle with these crummy teams.
Yeah, well, that's true. And historically, even Big Ben's numbers have been down against bad teams. Steelers, for as well coached as they are, they do seem to play down to their competition a lot of times.
Yeah, I agree. And quite frankly, I like Russell Wilson's start. I think Cincinnati. I think Arizona's a good matchup for him. I think Marshawn Lynch is going to have a big day.
Yeah, it could be a real big day.
And I like Tate and Rice again.
Yeah,
like we're talking about.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We'll get into them a little later as well. I'll go ahead and give my sit of the week, Rick. I don't think I'm breaking any ground. If you're still playing him and you're in the playoffs, I don't know how you did it. But for God's sake, sit Phillip Rivers this week against the Steelers. Coming across the country, has never had success in Pittsburgh. It's been a terrible year. What a letdown. I defended this guy all offseason, and he's made me look like a fool. And I wish there was a Taylor Swift song to go along with this guy because he makes me almost as angry as D'Angelo Williams.
Yeah, I agree. And Phillip Rivers has been maddening the last 2 years. I mean, there are talks of him not long ago, you know, being one of the elite quarterbacks of the fantasy league.
I think he was. He was a top five guy going into last season.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, quite frankly, I thought he was going to return at least to the lower tier, but much higher. You know,
he was an 8 to 12 to me.
Yeah, I'm figuring that the interceptions are going to be cut way down.
You would think.
But they're not.
No.
And the touchdowns really aren't there. You know, he's got, I think, 18, but he's like 14 picks, something like that. So, yeah, it's terrible. But, okay, my quarterback said, they won last week, but it was the run game. He had about 112 yards passing, something like that. If you gambling with Ryan Fitzpatrick, there's got to be a better option out there.
Boy, he's an enigma, isn't he?
And, I mean, you have both running backs are back. Stevie Johnson's questionable with a tender hammy. I just really don't like Fitzpatrick this week.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy you could be sitting in the playoffs with a Fitzpatrick, Rick. That's a good one because this is a scenario you could be facing. Because if you've been starting Ryan Fitzpatrick, you drafted him in, what, the 8th, 9th, 10th round, somewhere in there. And this guy was getting some run in the preseason. And I agree. And, I mean, again, there. How about I start calling Kaepernick over him, Russell Wilson? A lot of these guys I would. So that's interesting. But, yeah, Fitzpatrick, he's another one that's just maddening. He could go out. If you bench him, Rick, here's what he's going to do. He's going to go for 380 and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And they're still going to lose by 3 touchdowns.
True.
And if you start him, he's going to throw for a .182, a touchdown, and 4 picks. That's just who this guy is, and you can't play a guy like that in the playoffs.
That's true. Hey, let's hit a question in the chat room.
Oh, all right.
The Joker has put one up, and you might want to grab your pen because there's a few people to list here.
Oh, okay.
Hold okay, on. I can start one flex in a PPR.
Okay, so we only get one.
Yeah, put the other point, the metal point. There you go. See that blue stuff comes out. There you go. Okay.
Will this wash off?
No.
Oh.
So use paper.
Okay.
I can start one flex in a PPR. Chris Givens at Buffalo. Oh, boy, to me it's not hard. Fred Jackson against St. Louis. Jaquizz Rodgers at Carolina. Macklin at Tampa. Finley versus Detroit. Or Greg Olsen versus Atlanta. I think it's Fred Jackson, hands down, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, here's how we'll do this, Rick. We'll tie it all back together. We'll get to our running back starts of the week. And for me, Rick, my start of the week is Fred Jackson this week against St. Louis. Coming off that 100-yard game, this is just what he does. How many times have we talked about this? C.J. Spiller's Jackson gets injured. Spiller gets back before him. Then Gailey tells us that C.J. Spiller's going to be the primary back. Fred Jackson's role is going to be reversed. 2 weeks later, there he is getting about 5 more carries, getting over 100 yards. It's just that nobody can wrestle that job away from Fred Jackson. I have all the confidence in the world. He will get – it'll probably be a closer split, but he will get plenty of carries. He'll get the goal line carries. He'll have some receptions. He is a viable number 2 running back for me. So in a flex, absolutely 100%.
Yeah, no question about it. Like I said earlier in the show, Stevie Johnson's got that tender hammy. The backs will probably be receiving some of these passes from Fitzpatrick. So I think they're going to be double valuable in this game.
Yeah, no question about it.
Okay, you already gave your running backs.
Yeah, that all tied together. We're like professionals there.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
And I got the pen to work.
Yeah, you got the point out and everything. It's pretty cool. And if you hit that top button, it goes back in. This is amazing,
it's like,
man.
It's like
magic. The magic ink sticks.
Is this what you people did before the internet and things like that come out, before you had smartphones?
No, we had charcoal.
Charcoal? Yeah, like that you cook in the grill with?
That's what
you wrote with.
Sure.
No.
Running back.
Why would you do
that? I tell
you
what, 3 games in a row he's gone over 100, and I like Ben Jarvis Green Ellis against Dallas this week.
It's hard to argue against.
I think that offense, like I mentioned a week or two ago, that they're not questioning Andy Dalton anymore because he will kill you.
Yeah.
And they've got to play a complete defense, and hence the running game is actually really cranking up.
Yeah, and the bottom line with A.J. Green being probably the most dangerous receiver in the league, maybe 1B to Megatron's 1A, you got to respect him. You got 2 guys on him. Like you said, you got to respect Dalton. Green Ellis started out okay, had a real bad stretch, but over the last, what'd you say, 3-4 games, he's been solid. So it's hard to sit him down at this point, getting a ton of carries, getting over 100 yards, and he's been fine in the end zone, which is the big difference between now and at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
So I'll go ahead and sit somebody, Rick. I have a feeling you got the same one written down, but I'm going back to that same game, the man you hate most on this planet outside of me, and who are we talking about earlier, Peyton Hillis, number 3 on your list. Ryan Matthews against the Steelers this week. I can remember times of LaDainian Tomlinson struggling to run in Pittsburgh. This San Diego team can't win in Pittsburgh. They struggle offensively. Matthews has just been bad the last few weeks. He's been a huge disappointment yet again, and definitely don't stake your playoff life on him. I know the Steelers' run defense isn't what it used to be, but don't put your playoff life in Ryan Matthews' hands.
I agree. I mean, you know full well what I think
you,
of Ryan
you
Matthews.
You may have mentioned it, yeah.
And, yeah, you're right. San Diego and Pittsburgh are two teams going in different directions, I feel. I think Pittsburgh had a huge win last week. And San Diego, to me, is just waiting on the end of the Norv Turner era.
Yeah,
to be
I think
honest with
finally
you.
We've got there. We think this is going to happen at the midpoint of every season since 2004. I think we've finally gotten there.
Yeah, so I definitely agree with that. But
Andy
actually,
Reed
I did not have that in
really?
My sit.
Oh, okay.
These guys are going up. They're at San Francisco, traveling across country. He raised his head when we thought he was dead a couple weeks ago and then went back to earth. Reggie Bush, I do not like him as a start.
Yeah.
And I would sit him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Even if he would get the bulk of the carries, I think you're going to struggle against that Niners defense. But this has turned into a situation you never know. Is Daniel Thomas going to get half the carries? Is he going to get none of the carries? Is he going to get 75% of the carries? I don't think you can trust Reggie Bush, irregardless of the opponent, and especially with this one, like you said, going across the country and facing that vaunted 49ers defense.
Yeah, I agree. And I just want to comment just real quick in the chat room. We're a little concerned about starting both running backs. He happens to have C.J. Spiller. Look, I think they're both viable options. And in rare instances, I mean, if you got Spiller as an RB2, you know, I see no problem with putting Jackson as a flex, which is what you're starting.
Yeah,
and,
I know you're more into that than I am. I think we've talked about on this show
right.
in the past the success you had with, what was it, Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams mm-hmm. several years ago. I don't like that as much, but compared to that, let's see, where did I write that list there? So we're talking Chris Givens then, Jacquizz Rodgers. I'm not buying into him yet. Turner still seems to be getting the bulk of that work. Macklin, boy, I just don't want any part of that Philadelphia team. That's such a disaster there.
True.
JerMichael Finley, I'll tell you what, he's come back to life a little bit here the last couple of weeks, but I just can't trust him. Mm-hmm. So in this situation, I don't like it either as much, but I'm telling you, Fred Jackson's going to find the end zone.
Yeah.
He's going to have four or five grabs. He said this was a PPR league. He's still going to get half the carries. So, yeah, I don't normally like it. I know you're more comfortable with it, but I would certainly play them
but
both.
You look at that list. I mean, I would argue the only guy that I wouldn't just go crazy over in place of Jackson might be Givens.
Yeah.
But
that's a risk. What if Amendola comes back?
Exactly. So, I mean, I just think he's a safer play. I don't care if you do have Spiller or not. You still have an RB1, and you may strike gold with one of them and maybe the other's mediocre, but at least you hit it with one of them.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Let's look at it this way, too. If we had taken this independently, then you have to look at it that way. Look at it in a vacuum. I don't know if that's the right use of that term, but if you put Spiller up against anybody on that list minus Fred Jackson, it's Spiller, right?
Right.
And if you put Fred Jackson in that list minus Fred Jackson on that list, Fred Jackson we've determined is the best. So it's a little iffy, but if you didn't have both, you'd have made the decision to start either one of them independently,
right.
knowing
exactly.
the other one was there. So why wouldn't you play
exactly.
them both?
Exactly.
I see, I just talked myself into it.
That's yeah, I mean, and that's uncanny logic from
a like
blockhead
that?
Like you.
Yeah,
I just love it.
I was out in the woods all day in the quiet. Apparently that makes me smarter. It rained on my head all day. Maybe something grew in there or something.
Yeah, maybe. A little moss in there might fill up a little of that void.
Maybe there's just too much air in there. That's a problem. And if I fill it up with something. But that was salient fantasy advice. I'm really impressed with myself.
That was.
We go off the air now before I say something.
Well,
stupid.
I got to
we'll
write
see
this.
You on Tuesday,
I'm
everybody.
I'm going to write this down. Okay. It won't be forgotten.
All right. So where are we at? Start a wide receiver, Rick. I think that's where
I
we're
am.
At.
I am going to. I mean, you mentioned briefly the crummy Philadelphia defense. I like Mike Williams. Yeah, going up against that. And he had a big week last week. A little iffy because Jackson tends to really explode after a down week. But I'll tell you what, it's turned into a pretty solid passing attack. And everybody the last month has just flown through Philadelphia like they're not even there anyway.
And with the names in that secondary, that really surprises me. But But I agree. You know, I like those matchups, no question about it. Mine, Rick, I'm going to start a pass catcher. It's not going to be a wide receiver. I want to start a tight end this week, Rick, and it's going to be Heath Miller. I found this little nugget in my show prep tonight. Heath Miller, in four games, including a playoff game against the San Diego Chargers, has 17 grabs for 165 yards and four touchdowns in four games. I think, Ben, I know he's healthy. I know they wouldn't be bringing him back if he wasn't healthy. I don't think you're going to see the deep ball thrown 35 times. I really don't. I think you're going to see more of that ball control check down stuff that Haley's been working on, and Heath Miller's been the guy for that. You saw the success he had with Charlie Batch, and Heath Miller's by far been his favorite target and loves to play against the Chargers. You got to get Heath Miller in your lineup this week.
I agree.
If you haven't been starting under this point, shame on you, because he's been this good for about 9 weeks now. But if you're still waiting, this is the week. Take a chance.
Well,
Vernon Davis down, start him. Sit Antonio Gates down, start him.
If he's sitting on your bench and has been, who the hell are you starting over in a tight end position?
Vernon Davis, maybe. I'd start him over Antonio Gates. Gates historically plays well against the Steelers, but I like the matchup on the other side better. Other guy, maybe Brandon Pettigrew, just these name guys that you hate to pull out. I've run into it in that icon league, Rick. I've actually ended up playing them both. Vernon Davis has been horrible, but when you sit down and look at it, it's hard to sit down a Vernon Davis versus a Heath Miller. But I think it's time this year, irregardless of the skill set or the name, Heath Miller is the better tight end and probably the top eight fantasy tight end. I don't even know where he ranks.
Seven.
There we go.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I guess that was my question. Like, who would you be sitting? I mean, or starting over him? I would not be starting Vernon Davis over him.
No, no. But you look at the name, you know.
Yeah, you can look at the name, but you still have to look at production. I mean, it's numbers that win.
Yeah, but I like names.
You know, I mean, I'm sitting Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Having some of the leagues that we've had him in, I've been sitting him for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
No, hadn't hurt us at all.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's not much bigger names than wide receivers.
No.
So,
yeah, that's for certain.
You know, you can't. You know, we had this discussion two or three weeks ago. Your uncanny loyalty, which in truth is just that your fear of admitting that you're wrong.
That's probably true.
I have none of that. You know, you're not producing. Gone. I can care less. Don't bother me a bit.
Hey, not me. I want to prove myself right. And that's a good segue, Rick. Going into the sit of the wide receiver position, I did take the easy way out this week and took Larry Fitzgerald going up against that solid Seattle defense. It's just hard, like we were talking about with Davis, with the names. It's hard to sit a guy like Larry Fitzgerald down. I've been doing it. I've been in leagues where guys aren't doing it yet. So since the bye, the last three games, let's look at these numbers and give me one good reason. I'm not talking to you because I know you agree. But give me one good reason to anybody out there still playing Larry Fitzgerald when you're seeing these point totals. 1.6, 4.6, and 2.8 over the last 3 weeks. And that 4.6 has about been his average. You cannot – it's not. I'm a Larry Fitzgerald fan. He's a Pitt guy. I'm a Pitt guy. I hate to see it, but with the quarterback situation, he is not a viable fantasy player. It's time, if you haven't yet, get it through your head.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know, you may see his catches and targets go up some this week. I heard Skelton is now the starter, and he's tended to target Fitzgerald a lot.
The Ryan Lindley experiment is over already.
The abysmal failure that it is. That could be a coaching opening job, too, next year.
I would certainly think so.
Okay, and I guess we're sitting wide receivers, and we just spent the last 10 minutes talking about him as Larry Fitzgerald again. So
we'll go unanimous on that one. Although the Skelton information, it's a little bit interesting. I'll grant you that, but it's been awful. There's no other way to say it. You just can't do it.
No, I agree 100%. And you know, especially if in a PPR, you know, if Fitzgerald's getting the two catches and everything, it doesn't even matter who you're throwing in there, really, because they're getting at least two or three catches.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Even those 3 points, a lot of times for Fitzgerald, it's on one grab. You know what I mean? I don't.
And Arizona doesn't score touchdowns.
Well,
which will probably score 38 this week.
Well, there's a good chance. Probably not against that Seattle defense. No. Well, but that'd be the way it would go. Well, Rick, we got 20 minutes. We got lots of time. This is fantastic news. You know what it's time for?
It's back.
Or fiction. We need to get an announcer to handle that, I think.
Yeah, Don Pardo.
Who?
Oh,
God. Don Pardo. Oh, no, hold on. I need to know who this is because that'll probably be the picture on the website. Don, what is it, Pardo?
Yeah.
Is that like that Parton lady we were talking about?
No,
at the top
Pardo.
Of the show? Are they related?
Not Pardon.
Oh.
Pardo.
Pardo. Oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
Getting too crazy with the pen here. All right, Rick, it's time for Fact or Fiction, our favorite segment of the week and the most important segment for you to be 100% prepared for your fantasy playoff matchup this week.
And I tell you what, it is... It's just hard to believe that the playoffs have started. I'm terribly sorry.
What are we going to do in 3 weeks when this thing's all over?
Hunting
season will be over. Fantasy football will be over. It'll just be like our wives and stuff. I can't.
Yard work, maybe. I don't know. There's
yard
not much
work
of that
is going
to
be January.
Well, yeah.
Well, grass is probably still growing. It's still 50 degrees here in western Pennsylvania. It's kind of depressing. All right, back on track, Rick. Fact or fiction, no Sean Moreno is a must-start fantasy play the rest of the way.
Let's see. Depending on who you have on your team, obviously. But let's see, if you're in the playoffs and you have playoffs and you have – you didn't think I was going to do that this time, did you?
I did not.
Okay, Denver at Baltimore next week.
Good matchup.
Yes, that's a good one. Then they're at home versus Cleveland.
Good matchup.
And then in week 17, where's Denver? Oh, they're at home again against Kansas City.
Yeah, that got real simple looking at that.
I like
absolutely.
That.
He's an absolute must start looking at that schedule.
Yeah, I do like that. And let's face it, they're in a Peyton Manning offense, so yeah, the potential is always there.
Good question about that.
Okay, fact or fiction. Steve Jackson is a must-start versus Buffalo.
I'll tell you what, Steven Jackson has been red hot. Got a lot of yards on the ground. He's getting the ball in reception last week. Put up over 100 total yards from the end zone again. This guy's been red hot. He's a resurgent the second half of this season. And if you're going to keep a streak going, that Buffalo Bills defense is a pretty good team to do it against.
Yeah. Okay, I agree. Steven Jackson is playing real well. And you know what? The Rams are playing well. 5-6-1,
yeah.
They're still in the hunt, an outside shot at the playoffs. Could actually make some life miserable for people.
Yeah, probably not going to make the playoffs, but they're just good enough. You're not going to blow them out. They're going to be in every game. Tend to find ways to lose, although last week a big win, they had the 49 number. The team, more than I would have expected from certainly. So, Rick, go back to the well again. Run the MC this week. Darren McFadden is a number two running back for your fantasy team the rest of the way. Lex?
I trust Darren McFadden. I really don't. Number one, he's just an abysmal disappointment before he had his boo-boo. And now he comes back. He looked actually reasonable. And he gets another boo-boo. So I don't know what's going to happen with him. And that's the thing. You can't afford these kind of gambles.
That's
true. Because it's not like, if you had a two-game lead or whatever, we'll see what happens. Or if you're trying to do a little swing for the to get to the ball, something like that. But, you get a two-point thinker from a running back, you're in trouble.
Two-point thinker. I like that.
No, I mean, that's
a two-point sinker. I'm going to write it down right here.
Fact fiction.
But hold on. But I agree, sticking with Darren McFadden. Here's the point I wanted to make on it. You got this far. You made playoffs with him on the bench. You have better options, maybe a third better option in your flex. I don't think he didn't show me anything last night even before he got banged up outside the first carry. He went for over 30 yards. That tells you the other 10 went for 20 yards. So you got this without him. I just keep rolling.
Agree. Fact or fiction? Aaron Rodgers will have more fantasy points than Matt Stafford?
I tell you what, they've been going two totally different directions. Stafford's been starting together. Stafford dances with that 400-yard passing mark more often than not these days. And we talked about it on Tuesday. Aaron Rodgers had not over two touchdowns for a few weeks. One touchdown the last couple weeks. This guy, they've been winning games, but it isn't that high-flying offense you saw 2 years ago. And last year again, it's not the offense. They're trying to run the ball a little bit. They're doing different things. Aaron Rodgers just is that lockdown 350-yard, three-touchdown guy this season. It's just not who he is.
And they've had so many offensive problems. Greg Jennings hurt extensively. Jordy Nelson. They lost Cedric Benson for the year. I think now Starks is out for the year. And they just don't have that continuity. And, you know, I agree with you. Stafford, you know, they're winging it around. They're getting beat, but so what? We don't care about that fantasy.
And fantasy football has been an absolute dud. So, fact or fiction, Rick Roethlisberger as a start this week against the Chargers.
Oh, boy. I think so. I think he's going to be playing pretty efficiently. I think the running is going to be okay. You know, you got Heath Miller, he's going with some stuff, and, you know, he's been efficient all year, so I think he's going to be safe. Is he going to be maybe some huge output like Brady or something? No, probably not, but he hasn't been doing that all year, but I think he's certainly a safe quarterback start.
Yeah, you're probably looking at, what do you think, 225, two touchdowns and a pick, or one touchdown and no pick, something like that. Not going to be a huge game. I don't know what you know. A lot of guys have Ben as a number two, and you're not really facing that anyhow. But if he is your number one, he's not going to kill you, but he's not going to win you the game. Although I don't think you're starting Ben Roethlisberger if you're relying on the quarterback position to win you fantasy games.
Exactly. Okay, fact or fiction. Other than Bryce Brown, is anybody on a Philadelphia offense a start?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm going to say, here's who I'm going to give you. We don't know yet, unless something changed since about 5 o'clock when I did my show prep. So I don't know. I'm still stuck on if Shady McCoy is cleared to play, I think he takes more carries, and I think he actually outperforms Bryce Brown. So that's sort of a weird way to answer your question. You know, assuming McCoy doesn't play, then I know where you're going, and no, I'm not starting Macklin. Obviously, DeSean Jackson's out. I want no part of the quarterback position there. No, but I think I'm assuming McCoy comes back this week, and I don't agree with you in that even when McCoy comes back, they're going to give Brown the bulk of the carries. I could be foolish there. Reed's on his way out. I think he's going to go out with a bang. I think McCoy's going to want to finish the season. So if he's back and healthy, he is the most fantasy-relevant player in Philadelphia.
I don't think he's going to play the rest of the year.
Really?
I really don't think
you don't
going.
Think they'd have made that decision by now, though, like they did with Vic, if they were going to do it? Oh, I got you there. That was good. Yeah, I'm on a roll today.
Yeah, but when the decision was made with Vic, you know, they hadn't, you know, they lost, what, like another three in a row or something since then anyway.
That's true.
Yeah, three or four in a row. And I don't know. It's just... Now,
this is all just gut feeling. I got nothing to base it on. I think if McCoy's healthy, he goes.
I'm just saying, if I owned that team, he would not be playing.
Yeah, well, you don't own a team.
Well, that's not the point. We're talking opinion. I mean, you're not Andy Reid either, so.
That's very true.
You're built like him.
That's just not true. I was a few years ago, granted.
All right. Fact or fiction.
Okay.
And, you know, with the game that we've talked about, Phillip Rivers has more fantasy points than Big Ben.
Now, I think Phillip Rivers gets killed this week. I think it's funny feeling. I get these feelings. It doesn't have anything to do with fantasy football. I think this is a game. Polamalu got his game to stretch things out and get it back. I think Polamalu has a big game. I think Rivers gets turned over a couple of times. I think while Big Ben doesn't have a huge game, I think this game's a disaster for Phillip Rivers. It's going to be raining. It's going to be nasty up at Heinz Field. on Sunday. The weather's been awful. It was awful today. It's going to be awful tomorrow, and it's supposed to continue right into Sunday. You know what that field's like, that muddy track. That isn't Phillip Rivers football whatsoever.
No, I agree. And he just doesn't have the weapons that he used to either. And, yeah, I tend to agree with you.
All right, Rick, Doug Martin rebounds this week. I won't even put numbers on, just rebounds after a couple of down weeks this week against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I think Philadelphia is a mess, and I think Tampa Bay's offense is going to have a pretty good day. And, you know, what can you say about Philadelphia? They're just horrible.
And they're not that bad of a team on paper, anyhow.
Well,
I mean, what happened?
Super Bowl a couple years ago, you know, with their dream team and all that kind of stuff.
They were a playoff team in most people's minds coming into this year. It was the Giants and then them. There was no talk of Dallas or Washington.
Now, let's face it, the way they closed out last year to get to 8-8, they demolished, like, people the last four games of the year. Thinking, okay, well, they'll just start right over again in 2012, and it just hadn't happened.
No, absolutely not. So, you know, I bring that up in terms of Doug Martin because he was asked, I read an article, he was asked if he thought he hit that. Do you buy that rookie wall?
No, yeah, I read that.
Yeah, he wasn't happy about the question and isn't buying into it at all. I was just curious if you saw anything in that rookie wall.
No, I don't believe in that at all, to be honest with you.
All right. Well, simple as that. I like it. Quick and to the point.
He's the muscle hamster.
That's the best name ever.
All right. So, fact or fiction. The highest fantasy scoring game this week is New England-Houston.
Oh, I'm going to have to consult a schedule. Hold on. I wish we had a time clock. Oh, that's an alarm clock. Sorry about that, everyone. Highest. You know what? I'm going to say... And now you pad while I find the game that is higher in fantasy scoring, if you don't mind.
No, that's fine. You just scour away, try to find a game that's going to outscore Tom Brady, Matt Shaw, Arian Foster, Andre Johnson, Wes Welker, Stephen Ridley. Let's go on Hernandez. And I'm not sure what's going on with Hernandez. You know, Belichick's playing the old coy game but
you never know there. I'll tell you what, I really like that New Orleans Giants game. I like that Detroit Green Bay game. You look at that. Don't you just feel like maybe I'm crazy? The Patriots are just going to blow Houston out. This is the kind of game Houston gets blown out in. You know, I don't see Houston having that big of a fantasy game. New England is who they are. Like you said, they're not going to have Hernandez. Of course, Welker's banged up. Everybody's banged up. If I had to pick, give me any game involving Drew Brees, I think he comes back this week, and I really like that matchup there.
Yeah, those are two games that really do stick out, New Orleans, the Giants, and, of course, Green Bay, Detroit. And, you know, I can't say – I'd have thought Denver-Oakland would have been a very high-scoring game.
It's that stupid Thursday night game.
Yeah,
you never know what you're going to get.
And
it's fireworks. They're almost always low-scoring and sloppy. They don't have time to get the game plan in. I really hate that Thursday night game, and I pray they get rid of it.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, a little consensus in the chat room. They like the Green Bay-Detroit game as well.
Yeah, there it is right there.
Okay.
So I think it's me, Rick. We were just talking about it. Fact or fiction, Drew Brees throws for over 300 yards, two or more touchdowns, and less than five interceptions this week against the Giants.
Oh, yeah, I have no doubt he's going to bounce back. I mean, he destroyed me last week, so he's going to have a
big
game
this
week.
Knocked you out of the playoffs, so yeah, he'll probably go for four Bills and four touchdowns
probably
this week.
Yeah, they wouldn't doubt that at all, but... Now, I'd bet you he's over 300 yards, a couple touchdowns, maybe three, and you know, far less picks than five.
And that Giants defense, really not what it has been in the past. Still a formidable defense, but not a shutdown defense, not the kind of defense that's going to shut a guy like
now,
Drew Brees down.
Can pose some problems, though, with the height over a short quarterback.
True.
And, you know, that line, they do have those big arms. And Tom Brady actually commented, you know, that it's like throwing through a forest.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a guy, he's about 6'3", 6'4".
And if he's struggling, what's
right.
Drew Brees, 5'5", well, they call him 5'10", right, or 5'11".
I don't know. He's close. Yeah, he's close to 6 foot, but I doubt if he's there.
Well, if they're listing him at 5'11", that means he's 5'9", or 5'8". Right. You know how that works.
Go for it.
All right, I'll ask you another one then.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Camp fact or fiction, Rick? Cam Newton continues his recent success this week against the Falcons.
I think this game's the Falcons to have, and that kind of went on my next fact or fiction that I'll get to. But I think Matt Ryan's going to have a pretty good game, and you know, it is a division game. They seem to set up a little bit like the old San Francisco St. Louis matchup. You know, Carolina tends to rise up to these guys, but I think this week it's Atlanta's.
Yeah, no question about it. And for 2 weeks, Cam Newton's been solid, running the ball again, running for touchdowns, throwing for a couple of touchdowns. That Atlanta defense can be had some weeks, and boy, and then some weeks they just look like they're unbeatable. I just the team's been so inconsistent, I wouldn't feel comfortable saying that Cam Newton's going to do it again just because he hasn't strung long periods of time together where he's played that well.
Right, and let's face it, the last couple of defenses he played haven't been the stoutest in the world either. So, you know, I think he'll come down a little bit. It's probably going to be a decent game, but I think Atlanta's going to take care of it.
Probably going to be a close one, though.
12.
12? Well, that's 12 not
points.
Close at all.
No.
I think it's a field goal game.
All right, we'll have to write that down. Fact or fiction, Roddy White bounces back this week versus Carolina.
That's my answer. I don't care after he knocked me out of the playoffs as Drew Brees knocked you out of the playoffs. No, I mean, if you're going to bounce back, that'd be one heck of a team to do it against. Julio Jones could have the big game. They could both have the big game. But I don't think you're going to see Roddy White have two catches very often. So I don't know that he gets to 100, but I think you're going to see 5 or 6 grabs and whatever yardage that leads to out of him this week.
All right, that's fair enough. 70 yards,
yeah,
85,
could be, and
something like
and
that.
And he could just as easily go for $130, but I think I don't know what took. I'd like to know what took him out of the offensive game plan the way it did last. It's one of those stupid Thursday night games. Mm-hmm. Is exactly what it was.
I look for him to bounce back in a big way this week.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I really think he's a beast as well.
All right, well, we're about running out of time. Let's get this one in, Rick. We talked about this a lot already. Sort of goes to Joker's question in the chat room. Fact or fiction, C.J. Spiller leads the Bills in carries this week. All right, before you do your analysis, fact or fiction, C.J. Spiller leads the Bills in rushing yards this week. So it's all Fred Jackson for you.
Fact or fiction, C.J. Spiller leads the Bills in receptions.
There you go. So play them both, I guess.
Yeah,
the
there
of the
you
story,
go.
Right? Okay.
I don't know. It's hard to tell, but I think they're both going to be real prevalent in that game.
Yeah, you know, one thing to keep in mind, this just dawned on me now. Chan Gailey's the coach of the Bills, right? I'm not saying this wrong. Yeah, anyhow. I don't know. Did you ever just start to say something that didn't sound right all of a sudden? You've been saying it all of a sudden. Anyhow, he used the weather in Buffalo last week as the excuse for Jackson getting so much of the workload. Well, I think you're going to see the same type of weather this week as this rain's coming up the entire East Coast. So if that's the excuse they're going to use to get him in there, then I see Fred Jackson getting the bulk of it again.
I just have a question, though.
Okay.
Why do you need an excuse
To use
Fred Jackson?
When he goes for over 100 yards and finds the end zone. Yeah, I don't think you should have to explain yourself on that one, but he clearly felt the need to.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's just ludicrous to have to explain why you're using your number one running back. It just escapes me. One quick one, real quick.
All right.
Do you think Kenny Britt's worth a flex spot?
He's starting to come back a little bit. I don't know who you're benching for him, but I have more confidence in him now than I did about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, I do too, but Tennessee's bad.
Yeah.
And
Indianapolis, you can throw on him a little bit.
In a pinch, he may not be a bad play. I mean, that could be the sleeper of the week right there.
There we go. So there's your sleeper of the week, Kenny Britt. Well, we got a minute left, Rick. We might as well go ahead and shut her down. So thanks so much for joining us. The numbers continue to be ridiculous. I know 2 shows ago, by far the biggest show we ever had in terms of numbers, and we sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed, and we appreciate everybody putting up with our yammering around, and hope we're helping you out a little bit. We appreciate it.
Yep, so good luck in your playoffs. If you have any lineup questions, asylumfootball@gmail.com, @asylumfootball on Twitter. Check out all the shows on Blog Talk Radio, all the information you need. We'll be back Tuesday on the Tuesday Night Blitz. Until then, we'll see you.
We'll answer your questions up to game time. Take care.
Yeah, boy, I'm about to show me a better slugger.